So before I proclaim this reading from the Gospel of Mark, one of the things I learned in public speaking is that if I'm going to involve the audience in my homily, I have to give you a moment of preparation time to respond and be a part of that. And so I've got a question for you to think about as I read this scripture from Mark's Gospel. And the question is, who remembers first grade? And what is it that you remember from first grade? Okay, so that's two questions. So we pause for a moment to let you get into that mindset from that time in your life, which isn't too far away. Then they came to Capernaum. And on the Sabbath, Jesus entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, not as the scribes. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come here to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet. Come out of him." The unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry came out of him. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee, and people of God, hear what the Spirit is saying.
Praise
be to Jesus Christ. Please be seated. Okay, I'm going to dare to venture out here. I suppose I'm going to get yelled at by Evan and people in the back. And for those who are joining us via virtual, we certainly don't want to exclude you. We want you to be a part of our worship and our gathering here. So today's homily I've been reflecting on for several weeks now. And I guess in summarizing, the homily is for two reasons. One is for all of us, and the other is for Anne-Marie. The part for all of us is that question, who remembers first grade? And what do you remember from first grade? Who can venture out just to let me know what your experience was? Anybody? Okay, back there.
I remember my mother taking me up to my classroom and handing me over to the teacher, who held my hand, and she walked away and I cried.
Wow. Okay.
I remember Sister Terrence Marie, a tall Irish nun.
Yeah.
And we were terrified of her.
Terrified of her, huh?
Yeah, she was a great teacher.
Wow. Wow. Okay,
Anne? I remember Sister John Mark with her head veil. And Sister John Mark would throw out a ball, an eight ball, and play with us while she was teaching us. And I remember the little tiny colored sticks we used to learn math.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cool. Good experiences for us.
Well, I'm really old, but what I remember is lining up in order of height. Girls first and boys behind us.
Wow. Was it a good experience for you, Susan?
I loved my school. I went to St. Joseph's in Strongsville many, many years ago.
Okay.
It's interesting that you asked that question because...
I'm not sure if your mic is on.
He's got it.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Two.
No. The other day I was watching Jacques Pepin, and he was teaching his granddaughter, pardon me,
it's okay,
to make butter. And it instantly brought me back to the most important lesson in our first grade class, when the teacher brought in one of the old-fashioned hand-cranked blenders, and we all had to take turns whipping cream until it turned to butter. And then we each got to taste the butter on a cracker. That was the most exciting day in first grade.
Well, and all the details you're all remembering from just a few years ago, you know.
I remember tiny little sister Athanasius, who taught two classes at a time for religion of 72 kids. And when I became a New York City public school teacher, I used to complain when I had 30 children. So I'm absolutely in awe of Saint Sister Athanasia.
Thank you.
I remember a first grade teacher who made the alphabet come alive like characters when she taught us how to read. And I remember wanting my cowlick, my Dennis the Menace cowlick, to go away.
So I remember in first grade that we had lunch and we had to eat everything on the tray because the pagan children didn't have food. And they served sandwiches, which I hated because I didn't like them. So I put them in each pocket of my uniform as a first grader. And I thought that I had it way over the nuns. But when I got home, my mother was meeting me at the door with pockets smelling of lettuce and bologna. And she had a great message for me. And she said, I said, how did you know? And they said, sister called from school. And I said, oh, as a first grader, I thought I got it over him. And my mom said, remember this, they will always, the nuns will always be one step ahead of you.
Excellent. Well, I remember at St. Rose Elementary in New Lexington, Ohio, when Christmas time came, had a manger scene, of course, and all the children were told by the teacher to, if you've done something good, take a piece of straw and put it in the manger. And then the other part was, if you did something, you disobeyed or you fibbed, or it was first grade, you know, and then you had to take it out. And I remember always getting noticed that I was taking out far more. In retrospect, I think I was the only honest kid in first grade.
I was a very, very reluctant first grader and drove my mother totally insane for weeks. I didn't like the rules. I didn't like crossing my hands, showing my thumb like the cross that Jesus died on. I didn't like the food. I didn't like the lunch. I especially didn't like all the rules. And so this went on and on and on. And finally, my mother tricked me one day. And I thought we were going shopping, but we weren't. We were walking to my school, where I threw a big massive fit, and all the kids were just so quiet. Well, the upshot of this whole thing is my mother finally took me to a psychologist, and he said, Mary Ann is very willful, but she's intelligent. You need to treat her kindly but firmly. And then he gave my mother a prescription for nerve pills.
And the pills were for your mother, right?
For 2 cents a day, they would give you a little carton of milk about 10 a.m. When they rolled that milk cart in, it was so refreshing to drink that. And it's funny, we borrowed 2 cents or 10 cents a week or something like that. It was like a candy bar was 5 cents. Now it's $2.50. It's 50 times more.
Did you get chocolate?
I can't believe it.
Did you get chocolate milk too?
No.
No.
No. No. You never got chocolate milk. You got pizza like once a year, you know. Now you get pizza or tacos or whatever you want. No, they had green beans and meatloaf and mashed potatoes and stuff like that. Different day, different time.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? So, okay, go ahead.
There are a lot of things I remember, but I learned in first grade that if you were going to bring anything to school, Valentine's, cookies, whatever, you had to bring enough for everybody. You couldn't just bring 10 and whoever got them, got them. I also remember, mainly because of my mother, she would make her clothes and I would have a pretty new dress the first day with a sash and a bow in the back and new shoes. And we had a new school then. And I could walk to school for the first time. I couldn't, I had to take the bus to kindergarten, but I could walk to school and I just felt so wonderful and grown up in my new dress and my new shoes. It's hard to be. My mom was fabulous.
Oh my gosh, thank you. Anybody else? These are great memories and so vivid and clear. From
one of our Zoomers has their hand up, okay. But not virtual.
Oh, go for it.
Charlie.
Go ahead, Charlie. You're muted. You're getting there, Charlie.
Oh. Can you read lip?
You got it muted.
His wife is here. He doesn't know what to do. I'm the whole
Let's all laugh.
Thanks, Charlie, for sharing. Okay,
I know what it is. So the story is that he didn't get to go to kindergarten because he was going to go to a Catholic school. So he couldn't,
the public school wouldn't let kids that were going to end up in Catholic school come to kindergarten. So he went to kindergarten, he went to first grade, he'd never been in school. So he and his twin brother Bernie went out to the playground on a hot September day. And they came in after recess, and Bernie took off his shirt because he was hot and sat there with no shirt on, and he got in very serious trouble. So I think that's the story he was going to tell.
Wow, that's a real connection. Man, I'm a therapist, and I've never seen communication like that. That's great. Give a lesson on that to a lot of patients. Well, that is the first part of our homily. The memories that you bring. The second part is for you, Anne-Marie. And I'm a firm believer that we're not all, well, we learn differently. I'm a visual learner, okay? So being a visual learner, in order to understand the readings today being call from the community to lead the community. And also, I emphasized in the proclamation of that gospel that Jesus was teaching. And therefore, there had to be people that are learning. And the image that I get of that teaching message is a garden. And Anne-Marie, this is your garden. And it is filled with people that need weeding in their lives. It is filled with people that are broken at times. It is filled with people that have seasons where life is dormant and meaningless. And you just live from day to day. This garden of yours is not for you necessarily to be the teacher, but to be the gardener, to be the listener, to be like in any teaching situation, you are the learner, and these are your teachers. And so the image of garden and you being the gardener, hopefully gives you somewhat of an understanding what Tom was saying about commissioning, is that commissioning is recognizing the ministry that Anne-Marie has done so far, the learning of theology, of human relationships, of herself, that we as an institution, as an organization, as a family, as a garden, recognize in her today and celebrate with her. There is, from one of the books that I was reading in preparation for this, the same image for this author of, the book is called Madonnas of Color. And it goes like this. And this is the message for we the garden as well as for you the gardener. For me, silence is essential for walks in the garden, both literally and otherwise, because it helps me to be more attentive to the still, small voice of God within. No easy task. No easy task given all the noisy clutter of distractions that constantly surround us, the weeds in our lives. Notice that Gabriel's wings, which are illustrated in another part of this book, under God's kiss to creation, aren't the feathery wings of a bird, but rather the wings of a butterfly, quietly fluttering in the breeze. As I struggle to age, and age in wisdom and grace, I can't get enough silence. And I seek every opportunity to create and to savor that silence. And there is no better place than a garden.
We welcome your thoughts.